from the Mercy One Studio.
Thought of the Week with Monsignor Frank Bugnano every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and online at iowacatholicradio.com or the Iowa Catholic Radio app.
Good morning. This is Monsignor Frank Bugnano, Iowa Catholic Radio, and this is called Thought of the Week. Thought of the Week. And we're going to talk a little bit today about a thought that is challenging, and I've spoken about it before, but we need to talk about it because it's a big issue. It's a big issue in Iowa. It's a big issue in Washington. It's a big issue for people in general, and that is the question of abortion. Yeah, hate to say it. You probably hate to hear it, but it's true, and we got to face it. We've got to do something, either nothing or something, but something has to be done. So, well, what is it? What are we talking about? A lot of people, I'm not sure they know what it is. Abortion, it can be difficult and because of the use of the language that would favor one position or another. You're either pro-life or pro-choice or somewhere in the middle there. And oftentimes, for example, people who believe abortion should be legal or are pro-choice often define abortion as the termination of a pregnancy or an emptying of the contents of a uterus. I heard a woman talk the other day about being pregnant, a woman of color down in the South. She went to her doctor, and he said, do you want to terminate or do you want to go through with it? She said, terminate? What do you mean terminate? Well, abortion. So a lot of it's the wording you use. So anyway, it's termination of a pregnancy, all right, call it that, or emptying of the contents of the uterus. That's a little more exact. And people who believe that abortion should be illegal, against the law, they call themselves pro-life, they often say, well, abortion is the killing of a baby or the killing of an unborn, pre-born boy or girl. So that's what they would say. So, is abortion a morally innocuous emptying of the uterus, or is it killing of a child? Well, if pro-choice people are right and abortion is a harmless surgery, then restrictions on abortion would hurt women and make them second-class citizens. So if it's harmless, you're hurting women by not allowing them to have an abortion. Now, if pro-life people happen to be right, and abortion does kill a valuable human being, then keeping abortion legal would be the continuation of a tremendous evil that has taken tens of millions of lives. So, which side is right, and how should you or I respond? Well, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, we'll take that one, abortion is, quote, the expulsion or removal from the womb of a developing embryo or fetus in the period before it is capable of independent survival. So that's what the Oxford Dictionary says. Well, we see that that makes abortion different from childbirth, when an unborn child is removed from the womb when he can survive and there's no intention of killing the child. We call that childbirth. You can survive outside the womb, and I'm not going to take your life, okay? So, and as you know, the word abortion can be used in some innocuous ways, for good ways. Okay, you've heard of miscarriage or spontaneous, what they call spontaneous abortion. Or number two, there's the intentional or induced abortion. The majority of induced abortions are elective. That is, people choose to do it, meaning they are done for social reasons and not health-related reasons. And the most common reason women give to having an abortion are, having a baby would dramatically change my life. 74% of women say that. Or, I can't afford a baby right now. 73% say that. I don't want to be a single mother or having relationship problems. 48% say that. About 90% of the 1.06 million abortions 1.06 million abortions performed every day, every year in the United States occur during the first trimester, that is, the first 3 months of the pregnancy. During this stage of pregnancy, the abortion provider administers a medication that causes something like a miscarriage or uses a tomb connected to a vacuum to suck out the unborn human being from the uterus. And if that latter procedure is used, the abortion provider will usually collect the child's body parts in a jar, examine them, and make sure there's none left inside the mother. That happens every day. That's exactly what happens. And it sounds gruesome, but sorry, that's the reality. In the later stages of pregnancy, when the unborn human being is too big to fit through the vacuum tube of the doctor, the abortion provider uses a procedure called dilation and evacuation, D&E. It's a very brutal procedure, and it's described in the Supreme Court. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to describe it for you, because it's too gruesome for me to tell you what it is. That is taking the little parts of the baby apart, pulling them out one at a time, and then putting them back together again. I mean, this is gruesome stuff. But it happens, folks. We're not dreaming this up. We got 1.06 million abortions a year. This stuff happens. So, I mean, we're talking about the reality. We're not making this up. This is the reality, the facts. So we're going to talk a little bit about how this abortion really affects women and what should be the response of people. Because, as they say, something like women up to 45 years old, one out of three have probably had an abortion. So we're talking about a whole lot of people. So how do we react to that? I'm going to talk about that in about 2 seconds here. So stay with me. This is Monsignor Frank Bignano, Thought of the Week from Iowa Catholic Radio. Stay with us.
Thank you, Blessma International, for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Everyone lives their life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. How we use that time directly affects if our life will leave a significant impact or not. Each year, Blessment International leads Central Iowans on a 12-day, all-inclusive experience sharing the heart of Christ with children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmentinternational.org. That's blessmentinternational.org.
Support for Dowling Catholic Sports 365 is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic, with two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling Catholic graduate, and Dr. Todd Pedig. The Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at Ashworth and 60th Street in West Des Moines, 515-440-4610, online at ashworthvision.com.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, Dr. Christine Mulcahy, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Doing what is challenging because it's right. That's Blackbird Investments. In 2013, Blackbird Investments was born from the inspiration of St. Kevin. When it comes to building real estate, they look for creative solutions by forming strategic alliances, creating energy-efficient buildings, and engaging with local craftsmen. At its core, Blackbird Investments believes in giving buildings a new life. BlackbirdInvest.com. Blackbird Investments. Doing what is challenging because it's right.
Welcome back. This is Monsignor Frank Bignano, Thought of the Week. We're talking about that very difficult subject to think about and certainly to talk about and then to vote about, abortion, that is, induced abortion, that is, an abortion that someone does to take the life of the preborn boy or girl. And it's such an emotional issue, and it's as I said before, one out of every three women by age of 45 will have had at least one abortion. The grisly reality of abortion can cause these women and their partners to have deep feelings of regret and guilt. When talking about the reality of abortion, it's important not to lose sight of these men and women. Let them know they can find friendship and healing and hope. In the encyclical of St. Pope John Paul II, he wrote a beautiful encyclical called The Gospel of Life. He wrote a special message to post-abortive women. Here's what he wrote. Quote, "The Church is aware of the many factors which have influenced your decision to have an abortion. And the Church has no doubt that in many cases it was a painful and even a shattering decision. The Father of Mercies, God our loving Father, is ready to give you His forgiveness, His peace, in the sacrament of reconciliation, that is, the sacrament of confession." This is for the Catholic women. "And to the same Father and His great mercy, you can with sure hope entrust your child into His arms. That unborn child whose life was taken before birth, that is a human being with a soul, a mortal soul, lives on. Put that child in the arms of our loving Father." You can do that. Women can do that. Catholic, non-Catholic, doesn't make any difference. So that's what the Pope said. Well, then, here's what some people will say, and I can understand their thinking. What's wrong with being pro-choice? No one is forcing a pro-life person to have an abortion. Why can't other people have the right to choose whether or not they want to be parents and use abortion if the abortion is right for them? Well, both pro-choice and pro-life people agree that women should be allowed to choose many things in life. Of course, women and men, obviously, should be allowed to choose their religion, their careers, their husbands, or whether or not they want to be parents. There's nothing wrong with choice itself, as long as what is being chosen is morally good. A woman who chooses not to be a parent, by choosing not to marry and leading a single life devoted to serving God and her community, she chooses something that's very good. And likewise, a married couple who choose for good reasons to avoid conception through natural and moral means choose something that is good. However, when a couple chooses not to be parents by smothering their unborn child and throwing his body into a dumpster, they choose a bad thing. In fact, they choose something that's so bad, it should even be illegal. When a pro-choice advocate says women should have the right to choose, we must also ask the following question. The right to choose what? Choose what? What are you talking about? I'm all for choice. Depends on what you're choosing. I'm all for choice. No problem. So the central issue in abortion is not choice, because there are a lot of good things people should be allowed to choose, of course. So the central issue isn't the freedom to have or not to have children, because pro-life advocates agree men and women should not be forced to conceive a child against their will. There you go. Instead, the central issue in the abortion debate is, what are the unborn? What are we talking about here? When a pro-choice advocate says women should be able to choose not to be mothers, he's assuming that the act of abortion is contraceptive and only prevents a child from coming into existence. Pro-life advocates agree that women should be able to choose whether or not they want to be mothers. But if the woman is pregnant, it's simply the case he is already a mother. She's already a mother. She's got a baby in her womb. She has a mother because that human being is growing inside of her. So having an abortion doesn't prevent a child from coming into existence. It violently takes the child out of existence. So abortion doesn't prevent the child from coming into existence. It violently takes the child out of existence. It's already there. It's already existing. Just as you and I wouldn't tolerate parents killing their two-year-old because they don't want to be parents anymore, in the biological as well as the legal sense of the word, we should not tolerate parents killing their unborn child for the same reason. Wouldn't it be funny? I don't want to be a parent anymore. I'm going to kill my one-year-old. No, you can't. No. That's murder. No, it's a person. It exists as a human being. So if unborn boys and girls are human, and of pro-choice is not a compromise position that each side can embrace. Saying that pro-life advocates should not work to outlaw abortion because they aren't forced to have an abortion. You don't like abortion? Then don't have one. It's like saying feminists should not outlaw spousal abuse because they aren't forced to abuse their own spouses. You don't feel like beating your spouse? Well, don't beat them. Tolerance is acceptable when applied to nuisances, such as a noisy child. However, injustice, such as forcing a child to work in a coal mine, for example, must never be tolerated. Good people must work hard to eradicate injustice, even when the injustice doesn't personally affect them. That's because all people have intrinsic dignity and worth. And as human beings, we have a responsibility to care for our neighbor, regardless of who that neighbor is. So we're going to keep talking about this. We'll be back in just a moment. Monsignor Frank Bignano, Iowa Catholic Radio.
Why do folks give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? Probably because they love Catholic schools, right? Partially, but they also like the tax benefits, or they were helped when their kids were in school, or they have been blessed and want to bless others. Whatever the reason, the 65% tax credits are great, and after all, it's for the kids and their future. Online, ctoiowa.org.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio's broadcast of Dowling Catholic Sports and Activities is provided by Kemin, a global ingredient manufacturer using science to transform the quality of life for 80% of the world. Kemin is on the leading edge of molecular science, manufacturing more than 500 specialty ingredients for the human and animal health and nutrition, pet food, aquaculture, nutraceutical, food technologies, crop technologies, and textile industries. Kemin strives to sustainably transform the quality of life every day for 80% of the world with their products and services. Kemin, using science to transform the world. Online at Kemin.com.
Support for Dowling Catholic Sports is provided by Two Rivers Glass and Door, creating commercial glass and aluminum storefronts. Also serving your home needs by creating custom frameless shower doors, mirrors, glass tabletops, and specialty glass. Two Rivers Glass and Door. Design, fabrication, and installation. 515-222-4860. Online at tworiversglass.com. Two Rivers Glass and Door. Serving imaginations since 1992.
There are millions of children that go hungry every day. Thank you to Skeffington's Formalware for supporting Mary's Meals. Their vision is that every child in the world should be able to receive at least one good meal every day in a place of education. Mary'sMealsUSA.org.
The Man Up West Power Lunch is Friday, December 13th at noon, St. Francis of Assisi. Joel Magruder will share The Veil Removed, a short film about the Catholic Mass, and the stories behind the creation of the film. Lunch is provided by Chick-fil-A. Learn more about the Man Up West Power Lunch at iowacatholicradio.com.
This is Monsignor Frank Bignano, Iowa Catholic Radio. We're talking about that very, controversial issue of abortion and try to help people think through this thing, just logically, think it through logically. And so I guess one of the big questions, of course, is a good question. Is it possible to know when human life begins? Or is this just a religious belief that can't be answered? If you believe it, that's when it starts. Or is there a way of showing that, yeah, there is a way to know when human life begins? Actually, that contains two questions. What is a biological human being or an organism known as the species Homo sapiens, or Homo sapiens sapiens, actually is a technical word, come into existence? This is a scientific question, and that is not ever seriously disputed among scientists or academics on both sides of the issue. They don't argue about that. No, they don't argue about when does the biological human being come into existence. No. The second question is, here you go. When does a human being with rights or a person come into existence? There you go. Is that little embryo a person? Ah, this is a philosophical or religious question because people associate different meanings with the term person in order to answer that question of whether or not the unborn child happens to be a person, we first have to answer the question or whether or not the unborn child is a biological human being. Come on. That is a younger member of our species. After all, you can't have human rights unless you are a biological human being. This is all just logic, plain logic. Okay, now the question. So how can we know that the unborn human beings in the biological sense are really human beings? Well, we can start by observing that the unborn child is alive. Okay, we know this because the unborn child's baby takes its nutrients and are converted into energy that allows the child to grow and develop. All right? In fact, the unborn child's heart begins to beat within about 3 weeks after he or she is conceived. Of course, being alive is not what makes someone a human being, because trees and bacteria are alive. Instead, the unborn are human because they possess the human DNA. So they're not trees and are the result of the union of two members of the human species. Okay, I get it. They're human because they have the human DNA, right? Now, some critics will say that the unborn boy or girl are not human because they are merely a fetus. However, this is a little bit of a misunderstanding of that word, fetus. Fetus is a Latin word that means young one. It designates a particular stage of development in the life of a human being. Fetus designates a stage of development in a developing human being. In fact, from conception until the seventh week of life, the unborn child is called an embryo. Then, from 8 weeks until birth, it's called a fetus. After birth, it's called an infant. And after a couple of years, it's called a toddler, and so on. So the unborn child is not human because he's a fetus. That makes as much sense as saying a 15-year-old is not human because he's a teenager. So, no, to say you're not human because you're a fetus means you're not human because you haven't developed where I think you ought to be, and you ought to be a toddler, and then we'll call you a human being. This is crazy. Finally, the unborn are whole human organisms. They are not part of somebody else's body. It's true that the sperm, the egg, and other body cells, such as the skin cells, are alive and possess the human DNA. However, even if these things are given time and nutrition and whatever they are going to need to develop into an adult human being, in contrast, you and I are organisms, because if we are given time, nutrition, and proper environment, not on the moon or at the bottom of the ocean, we will continue to develop more and more into mature members of the human race. Therefore, the unborn child, when given time, when given nutrition, etc., that unborn child will develop into a mature human being if the child does not die prematurely. Embryologist E.L. Potter agrees, and he says, every time a sperm cell and an ovum unite, a new being, this is a scientist, a new being is created. And that being is alive and will continue to live until its death is brought about by some specific condition. The fact that the unborn child is a human organism is not ever seriously disputed among scientists and philosophers. They don't argue that. They know that. Scientists and philosophers know we're talking about human beings, human organism. The standard medical text, Human Embryology and Tetralogy, states, although human life is a continuous process, fertilization, also called conception, is a critical landmark because under ordinary circumstances, a new genetically distinct human organism is therefore formed. That comes from the Dictionary of Human Embryology. Pro-choice philosopher David Bloonen writes in his book, In Defense of Abortion, the most straightforward relation between you and me on the one hand, and every human fetus on the other is this: we are all living members of the same species, Homo sapiens. The fetus, after all, is simply a human being at a very early stage of his development. That from a pro-choice person. the little Homo sapiens is there. It's a human being. That's what this guy said in his book in defense of abortion. I don't know what else you could say. So that is those are some of the technical scientific things that we ought to know. So in thinking about abortion, use your good sense, your common sense, your good reasoning, and good science, and you'll come up with the right answers. Monsignor Frank Bignano, Iowa Catholic Radio.
Join Iowa Catholic Radio every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. for Thought of the Week with Monsignor Frank Bignano. Listen online at iowacatholicradio.com or on the Iowa Catholic Radio app.